Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the seed of the woman. Immediately after the fall of man, God promised a savior who would be the offspring of the woman. Jesus was born of a virgin, a divine savior born of the seed of woman. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Crash and burn. I got a funny feeling I'm going to crash and burn. This is Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday at Georgia Tech. There are two fellas sitting underneath a tree. Witnessing to two, never easy. But let's give it a go, shall we? Gentlemen, I hate to interrupt this. Could I interrupt it, though, for just a moment and ask you a couple of questions on the radio? You up for that today?
I've already talked to you before.
Is that right?
A couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Where were we?
You were wearing sunglasses and we were over there.
That's where we were. You remember?
Yeah.
What did we talk about?
Well, you caught me right after a young man asked me about my faith and suggested a couple of chapters of the Bible to take a look at.
Really?
I believe so.
And you didn't do it?
No, I did not.
Okay. So the conversation meant nothing to you?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I think if it meant nothing to me, I wouldn't have entered into the conversation in the first place.
All right, let me walk over to your buddy here so we don't ignore him. Hello, young man. What's your first name?
My name's Kip.
Are those butter pretzels or regular pretzels?
Regular and salty.
Because you must like the salty pretzels. Yeah? What's the point of eating a pretzel if it doesn't have a lot of salt on it, right? All right. Dude, we're talking about the Bible over here. Are you a Bible-reading kind of guy?
No, I'm not.
How come?
Probably due to laziness. I've tried to read it, but not hard enough.
Okay. Why did you try to read it?
I wanted to be able to say I'd read it, because occasionally radio men pop out of sidewalks. And
it happens.
And I feel
and
like
you would have been prepared.
It would make for a better conversation.
Now, aren't you sorry that you didn't read it when you were supposed to?
I am regretting it a little bit.
Yeah. At a dinner party and the subject comes up, you can say, seen the Ten Commandments.
Expert.
I've read the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
All right. Do you know what the Ten Commandments are?
I probably couldn't list them sequentially.
Not asking you to list them. What are they? What's the concept behind the Ten Commandments?
A list of rules handed to us on high that we should follow.
Well done. Have you followed them?
To the best of my ability, in most cases, yes.
Hmm.
I've not gone out of my way to break the Ten Commandments.
Are you sure?
Yes. I'm sure that I have not gone out of my way to break them.
I'll bet you have.
Out of my way? I mean, I'm pretty lazy. We've already established
I'm not even
willing to read the Bible.
I mean, okay, let's try this one. Lies. Have you lied before?
I have.
Mm-hmm. That took some energy.
But I didn't go and lie with the idea of breaking the Ten Commandments.
Does that make a difference? What difference does it make what zip code you're in or what effort you put into lying? To go with the intention of lying or just, oop, I just ended up lying, really doesn't make a whole lot of difference, does it?
I was going with the original question of whether or not I went out of my way.
All
to
right, fair enough. All right, I changed it on you. Does it make a difference?
In the general sense that the intention of your lie makes a difference, but in the context of the situation, excuse me, I'm not really sure.
So intention can make you innocent even though you've done a guilty thing. If I were a criminal and I'm standing before the judge and I had I beat up my wife, but judge, I didn't intend to, what's he going to say?
Well, I don't think anyone would phrase it that way, but I'm pretty sure that such thing as motive exists.
Well, I lost my head. We went out to dinner and boy, the way she behaved, and I cuffed her. I didn't intend to.
So we're comparing what might be an off-the-cuff lie that I might tell to you beating your wife.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with the cuffing thing. That would have been a good thing. Right? He missed that one.
Maybe that was why I said cuff. I were clever with mine.
All right. But it doesn't make any difference, right? Okay, how's about this one? The Ten Commandments. As a child, honoring your mother and father.
Yes, I think I've tried to do that.
But have you done it perfectly?
No.
You were a naughty child.
I'm not a perfect child, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't met one yet. I got three of them myself. And they're little monsters sometimes. Right? So are all kids. So you probably were too, right?
I guess you could say that.
All right. Were you a monster as a child?
Sure, at times.
Okay. All right. By the way, lying, are you innocent or guilty there?
Oh, I've lied.
You've lied. Thank you for making that nice and... Did you see the brevity of that answer? All right. All right. Stealing. Stolen anything?
Yes.
Young man?
Yeah, probably.
All right. Let's try this one. Instead of axe outside of you, axe inside of your head.
Oh, all right? Well, this will be fun.
Perhaps. Lust. Have you lusted?
Yes, I have lusted.
All righty, young man.
I'm stuck on the all of them comment, but yes.
Uh-huh. So you have... You've lusted, all right? So your thought life isn't pure. Have you ever been just really, duh, that jerk, that idiot?
Oh, yeah.
Just mad at somebody.
Oh,
driving
yeah.
along. All right. And you?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so that would be like murdering in the heart. You don't commit the act, but you're actually murdering the person with your words or your thoughts.
I would tend to disagree there, sir. There might be a part of you that wants something bad to happen to that person, but at the same time, the reason why you don't actually act on that is because you can control that.
But somebody, have you ever had an attitude in your heart about somebody that was just kind of nasty because of the way they looked, their weight, their size, their anything, their behavior, and you just thought really nasty things about them?
I don't think that nasty, no.
You don't do that?
I wouldn't say it anywhere near murdering or even wishing ill harm on someone.
Never done that, huh?
If I would have, I think I would have reconciled it later with, I was out of line.
Let's try this as far as wishing for something. Coveting, desiring something that doesn't belong to you. Winning the lottery, getting that fancy car that doesn't belong to you. Have you ever coveted?
I have wanted things I do not have.
All right. Young man?
Sure.
All right. How many commandments did we just go through? 4, 5, something like that?
Sure.
Right. Well, something like that. About 4 or 5?
On the order, yeah.
Okay, so you've broken 4 or 5 commandments. Here's my question for you. All right? Let's say you're a young man, but you die.
Right.
Although, dude, you're getting gray hair. What's up with that? You're aware of that, right?
I live a very stressed life.
I don't think so.
My last name's gray, too, so it's kind of cool. It works out.
You know what that's called? Nominative determinism.
I don't even know if I could say that.
I'm not sure it applies to gray hair, but nominative determinism is when your name sounds like something or it means something, and you go on to be that profession or live that way.
I wish I would have been named awesome grad student.
or maybe just brunette.
There you go. Even better. Luscious head of hair.
Well, that'd be a little wordy. Wouldn't fit on most business cards. You wouldn't get hired.
Hyphens are cool, though.
What's your first name?
Kip.
Kip. Luscious head of hair. Yeah. See, that just doesn't have anything to it. All right. Gentlemen, you've broken the commandments. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's say at your young age, God calls your number. It is time for you to die. Every man should think about this. What's going to happen when I die?
It's going to happen.
It is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And he's going to judge you for every thought, every word, every deed. Knowing that God sees everything that's going on in your heart and in your mind, every deed done in darkness, everything you failed to do, would God find you to be innocent or guilty of keeping his commandments? Mr. Gray?
I would not put it in my realm of thought to guess what God would think of me.
But you can conclude pretty easily. If you've broken the commandments, we can use it as a mirror to know exactly what the verdict would be.
I wish I could say that I was knowledgeable enough about the hereafter to say that there was a checklist or some sort of determined form that I'd fill out, but I just don't know enough about that, I guess.
Let me suggest to you it's the Ten Commandments, all right? And you're filling out the form every day you live, and God's keeping track, and God knows exactly what's going on inside of your heart, your mind, and what you're doing, okay? And while we can't know the mind of God, secret things of God are God's secret things, but he's revealed some things to us, and he's revealed his standard by which he will judge the world, the Ten Commandments. So if you know that you've broken the commandments, then right away you should know, this isn't presumption, that you would be guilty.
I agree with you that I think God would be able to say that I've broken the Ten Commandments. But that is about as far as I could go, only on the logic that I have broken those Ten Commandments, as you just so proved.
Well, then you can stop me if you think this is illogical, all right? But we have a sense of justice of what is right and wrong, and when a criminal is found to be guilty, we all know what happens to that person. He's not rewarded. He's punished. Correct? So following that line of justice, of understanding justice, if you're guilty and you're guilty and I'm guilty, I know that, what should God do with us? Should he reward us or should he punish us? What should God do with you?
Well, on that logic and that logic alone, and this is assuming that the two of us, this is kind of the same point that Kip was making, understand God enough to know how he would think, how he would act, which I think relates to how confident are we in the truth of the Bible. Then, yeah, sure, God would punish us. God would throw me in a lake of fire until the end of time, more or less, after I croak. That being said, I wouldn't call myself a Christian. I can't speak for anyone else here. So I don't really have any reason to believe necessarily that the Bible is the accurate testament of what God would think out of a given situation. That's why I sit here and I seem so complacent about the whole thing.
All right, guys.
That's my own thing.
I know I interrupted your thing here, all right? I got to do a commercial. Will you let me do that and we'll keep going with this conversation? Will you afford me that?
I can't be here indefinitely.
Me neither. And you know what? I appreciate that. So just sit tight. It's Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life. Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Important dates in Christian history. 1906. The Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles, California, launches Pentecostalism and paves the way for the development of the modern charismatic movement. Pentecostalism is marked by a focus on supernatural gifts such as healing and speaking in tongues. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Okay, this is going to be fascinating. This is going to be very good. This is something I've always wanted to know, and you might have the answer for me, young man. It's Wretched Radio. Okay, your last name is?
My last name is Zeller Townsend.
Which is a hyphen.
Hyphenated last name.
And you were just telling me that the reason you've got a hyphenated last name is because your mother...
Mother's a little bit of a feminist, didn't want to lose her last name when she got married.
Okay, now, here's what I can't figure out. What happens when you get married? What does your wife do?
Well, we're going to have to figure that out when we get there.
Well, what happens? Because ultimately, I mean, if this keeps going on...
Right, yeah. So if you just continue in a very linear fashion, then sure, eventually you'd end up with last names that would be, like, infinitely long after an infinite period of time. However, I believe the standard thing to do is that you take, like, one last name from one parent and one last name from the other parent, and you recombine them. And there's some sort of, like, specific order to do it. You take, like, the paternal grandfather and the maternal grandmother.
There's going to be fights involved. This is still going to cause a problem. All you've done is just push the problem back a little bit, haven't you?
To me, perhaps. Either way, my kid's probably going to have two last names, at least.
All right, gentlemen, here's where we left off, if you recall. I was trying to appeal to your conscience, that little courtroom in your brain that says, I did something wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And that conscience seems to exist globally, which is an interesting observation.
Yeah,
that everybody seems to understand that there's lying is bad, murder is bad, stealing is bad, that there are certain things that are bad. I was trying to appeal to your conscience, really outside of the Bible even, that there's something inside of us that says, yes, it is right that justice takes place and that wrongdoers give an account and are punished for their behavior. I'm trying to appeal to that inside of you.
Wrongdoers should be punished for their behavior. I agree. I believe it's the best way to teach them.
Now, what I'm trying to persuade you in the most gentle, loving way that I possibly can is that you guys are wrongdoers. That's what I'm trying to persuade you of. That you guys are guilty criminals just like me.
I would certainly agree, and I think that's true of anything that isn't a comic book.
All right.
Would you agree that you are a, if you will, a guilty criminal of breaking the Ten Commandments, the laws that you knew inside of you were wrong?
Yes.
All right. So, guys, so justice says you should get something, you've earned something for yourself. And that would be punishment. Dude, while this life can be hard and it can be bad, it ain't not. I mean, what did you just eat? A 10-inch pizza sitting there?
This was one slice of a 16-inch pizza that was made yesterday.
Okay, and you had some sort of cherry cobbler thing in your backpack there? Life is sweet.
Oh, yeah. Life is sweet for me. I mean, any pain I go through is nothing compared to about probably 50% of the planet, at least.
All right, now let me try an analogy. If I tell a lie to my daughter... Do you know what's going to happen to me?
Probably nothing.
Bingo. Now, I'm going to tell a lie to my wife. Do you know what's going to happen to me, Kip?
No, I do not.
I'm probably going to sleep on the couch.
Okay.
All right? Now, let's say I told a lie to my boss. Do you know what's going to happen to me for lying to my employer?
You'll probably get fired.
I tell a lie to the government. It's called treason sometimes.
Sometimes.
The government can put me in jail.
Or it can kill you.
Or it can kill me. Now, here's what I've done. I've committed the same crime four times, but I've received a more severe punishment each time. What changed in my little tale? Wow, you're fast. Again, okay, who is dealing out the punishment? The one against whom I committed the crime. I committed the same crime, but it was against, if you will, a greater entity, and therefore the punishment is more severe. Are we tracking together, fellas?
Sure.
Are you with me, Kim? Am I logicking this? Now, let's say that God is the creator and maker of my child, my wife, my boss, and the government, and he runs everything in the universe. He is more powerful, more lofty, more exalted than any of them. If I tell a lie, and it's a crime against him, all of a sudden, my punishment should become infinitely horrible. Same crime, but I've committed it against a greater entity, therefore my punishment is exceedingly bad.
Against an infinite person, certainly. Based off the logic you just threw out there, the greater the person, the bigger the punishment should be.
Okay, so your lying, gentlemen, was against God. And your lusting was a crime against God. And if you've ever done worse than that, and don't even nod at me, if you've looked at pornography or if you fornicated, it was against God. If you have ever been naughty with your parents, which you have, it was a crime against God. If you've ever taken his name in vain, instead of thanking him, you used his name in a profane way. He says, I will not hold him blameless who takes my name in vain, because it's holy. So if you've done any of those crimes, which you have, and they're committed against God, which they are, the punishment that you deserve is exceedingly bad. It's called, anybody want to fill in the blank?
I'm going to go with hell.
It's going to go with hell. All right, so guys, you die. I'm not trying to be presumptive. I'm just trying to think this through.
I think it's a safe presumption to say that we're all going to die.
We're all going to die, but if we're all guilty before God, we all deserve hell.
Living in that world, yeah.
Okay, and that is the world we're living in.
I wouldn't agree with you there.
Okay.
But at the same
I know
time,
you don't, but I'm trying to reason with you.
Okay.
All right, now, that's not why I came to the campus today. I did not come here to tell you that you're going to hell. You are, but that's not why I came here. Okay? I came here with something different. I came here to reason with you, to maybe awaken that courtroom in your brain that says, I'm guilty, I've done wrong things, and I know it. I know I'm dirty inside. And I know I got a problem. I've come today to give you the solution to the problem. God's solution to your problem, and if you ever went to church as a kid, is that God, the just judge, must give you what you've earned for yourself, but he is kind, and he's merciful, and he's gracious, but he's got to punish you because he's just. So we got tension going on right now. God looks down, he sees you a sinner, and he goes, I got to punish him because that's what he's earned from me. But I'm loving, and I love Kip, and I love, what did you say? Riley.
Riley,
the Irish sort of hyphenated last name guy. I love Riley, and I love Kip, but I got to punish him because I'm just. So we got tension here. So the way that God came up with a plan to be just and the justifier of those that he forgives is to punish his son on your behalf. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, as a representative for you because he took on human form, but he's God himself, took the punishment of man, which was really God using men to pour out his wrath on his own son on your behalf, died on a cross, taking the punishment that you deserve, so that if you, gentlemen, will listen to your conscience and agree with God, I'm a sinner, I'm not a good man, I'm a bad man, and I deserve his punishment, you turn from your sins, it's called repentance, and you put your trust in Jesus Christ, the goodness of Jesus will be credited to your account. It's the great exchange. God punishing the good man for the bad man. God taking the bad man's sins and putting them on the good man so that you could be forgiven and God can forgive you and still be just at the same time. So he can show justice and mercy and compassion all together. Jesus died for the ungodly, for you, sinners. And if you don't respond to this message of good news, then he will give you what you deserved. But this day he offers peace. The terms are repent and trust his son, lest he be angry. And he will settle the score because of what Jesus did on your behalf. And you will be forgiven. And more than that, you will be credited with the righteousness of Jesus because he kept all of the laws and the Ten Commandments his entire life that you couldn't keep. He did. And God will credit those to your account too. It is called the good news of the gospel, what I just gave to you. You should be very afraid of hell, but this is important. You should not turn to him and put your trust in his son because you're scared of hell. You should turn to him and put your trust in him because he has been so kind to make a way for you, to die for you, and save you from hell. He wants you to come to him in tears, not just scared of hell. He wants you to come to him recognizing what a kind God that would save somebody like me. That is God's desire, to save you. He desires to save you so that he can point to you as a demonstration of his kindness, so that God can be seen as a good God by saving a guy like you and a guy like you and a guy like me. That's your purpose in this world, is to glorify God by repenting and trusting his son. That's why I came here, was to let you know that there is a good news story. Now we're done and I'm walking away. And last time I walked away from you and I didn't like track you or put a chip into you to follow you or get you into my cult.
Or to
get money from you guys. We'll probably never see each other again. Maybe we'll bump into each other again. That's what I wanted to share with you. And now I'm done. And now the ball is in your court, if you will. You need to figure out if what this stranger said was true. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his very soul? There's no reason to lose your soul when he offers you peace. Fair enough? I'm done preaching. All right. Thank you very much.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
It was nice to re-meet you, Tom.
Yes, nice to re-meet you, too. All right, gentlemen. Thanks for the chat. Appreciate it. See ya. All right, goodbye. Who knows? Can't tell you. Who knows? I don't know. I have no idea what's going on in their hearts right now or their minds. But the good news is it's not my job. All I can do is proclaim it, and that's all you can do too. Don't ever forget that. Please witness to somebody you know. And if you're listening to this here program and you have just heard the terms of peace for the first time, I would beg you, just like I beg Kip and Riley, please don't die. Don't die and go to hell. Repent and trust Jesus Christ. Complete forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. And you will get to enjoy the most amazing thing in the entire universe. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.